It's been known and it's been shown, the streets are full of wolves that moan. As the walls come tumbling down, as the last Humpty loses his crown, the houses shake, the earth it bakes, the pills, the bills they take, take, take. Oh, take me away from here, I'm not the one they want, my dear. Even though everyone I know is telling me to hold on, maybe would be better if I let go, maybe would be better if I let go. It's been tried, it's been true, it's been a long time coming for you. With all that this world has to offer, just seems to bother you, my love. What can't be bought, can't be sold, despite all the stories that we've been told. Oh, take me away from here, I'm not the one they want, my dear. Even though everyone I know is telling me to hold on, maybe would be better if I let go, maybe would be better if I let go. Keep your eyes averted away from the sun as you travel among the sleepwalkers. Even the purest of angels would crash and burn in a place like this. Late at night I hear them shaking and rattling the branches outside my window, saying, let me go, let me go, let me go, let me go, let me go. Telling me to hold on, maybe would be better if I let go, maybe would be better if I let go.
Hi, this is Fran Freshella from ESPN College Basketball. You're listening to Taking the Charge.
Welcome back to the Taking the Charge podcast. Sounds of the Teens is going coast to coast this week. You just heard Sleepwalkers by Linda Draper, a soloist from Brooklyn, New York. And that one was recorded at the WFMU studios just last week, July 22nd. Later in the show, you'll be hearing Zuki Zuki by Fish Tank Ensemble of Los Angeles, California. That one was recorded live at the 2011 Golden Festival in, you guessed it, Brooklyn, New York. All these tracks and lots more from around the world are available for free use online, in podcasts, or simply on your MP3 player at freemusicarchive.org. And now, back to Taking the Charge.
Thank you, Wolfman Oz.
Yeah. Going New York and LA. Woo!
Movie of the week time.
Yeah, movie of the week time.
I didn't quite know what to think of this one for a while. and then it actually kind of grew on me, but then again, it kind of didn't. okay. So, 2008, I think. Yeah, here, 2008 Chinese film. We're going China. I think this might be the first Chinese one we've done, huh?
This is kind of a Taiwan China co-production or co-team up or something, so I'm hesitant to call this a Chinese movie per se. We've done at least one film from Hong Kong, which will figure prominently, I think, in discussing this film. But let's go right into
it. Okay, so it's called Kung Fu Dunk from 2008.
Chinese language film from 2008, as Dave just said, which presents a very realistic look at the college game in China. No, I'm kidding. It totally doesn't. As you can guess by the title, this is another in a lot, I think, of Chinese films that have been inspired by things like The Matrix, but also sports movies inspired by Shaolin soccer football, however you would like to refer to it, a 2005 movie, which we did on the show and which is brilliant. There's no question about whether this one takes some time to grow on you and then you don't like it so much. That film is perfect throughout. Kung Fu Dunk is a little bit uneven, but it basically goes on that same line, i.e., a boy who learns martial arts decides to take his talents to basketball, as we say in the vernacular of King James. He takes his talents to the basketball court. Again, sort of like, you know, the whole premise behind Shaolin soccer football. And I dare say, I'm no expert on Chinese, Taiwanese, Hong Kong film, but I dare say that this sort of movie description is becoming a cut and paste for many films, I think, in the post, let's say, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon era. I think we're seeing a lot of these kind of films. The main character is, let's see, the main character is, oh yes, of course, Fang Shiji, who's played by Jay Chow, who actually may be familiar. He's in quite a lot of let's say, mainstream Taiwanese Hong Kong films that managed to play abroad. So you may notice him. He has that typical story, at least in this sort of film, where found as a baby outside of, you know, the monks' training ground or whatnot, for studying this very high level kung fu that distorts the laws of physics. This kind of kung fu. We go through in what is actually kind of a universal story, in that guy with outstanding talent who's down and out connects with the sort of down and out hustler type who has a way to make a lot of money that really works. In this part, you know, we have to sort of take on faith some of the things that happen. I mean, wacky things begin to happen, like this guy is able to join a college basketball team in the middle of a tournament. I think by tournament here, they actually mean league, but nevertheless, it's a little bit hard to believe. And you know, the film has a sense of humor enough to sort of blow these things off. Not giving too much away, we will say later that some older folks join the college team, and they say, oh yeah, they're college students. You know, that's it. That's the end of that story. And so we're not, this is not a very dramatic, serious movie in that respect, which is kind of bizarre, because this film, and I think the problem that Dave had with it, in that, you know, it grows on you and then it kind of like loses the thread and then it kind of picks it up again. I think the problem is that there's this odd adding of dramatic characters. One of Fong's teammates is a guy who drinks like a fish. And we're wondering, first of all, what sort of university this is that allows the players to drink from a flask, silver flask, while sitting on the bench, for God's sake. If this guy could drink during the games, he probably would. And this character's storyline is almost taken seriously. It's like they're pulling at the heartstrings to feel bad for this guy who once got trash talked so badly in a tournament game that he missed a couple free throws, and since then he can't stop drinking. It's a bit over the top. This film is already over the top enough, you know, with the guys jumping 12 feet in the air and, you know, doing, again, like I say, kung fu that violates the laws of physics without throwing in this sort of melodramatic, over the top character. It's an uneven film in this respect. You get a lot of, you get a lot of great looking scenes. When we go into the, I guess he's a sort of Yakuza type, he's a sort of mafia type, known as Brother Who in the subtitles. Lot of great looking scenes there. We get a total take on Kill Bill Part One here at one part, which just looks gorgeous. We also have a shout out a bit earlier to Jackie Chan films, which I think is inevitable in this sort of film. And there's a lot of stuff before we get to the pure basketball. Now, the basketball, once this stuff comes in, is a lot of fun. We see the team rise to the top, you know, doing in that typical sports movie way, doing impossible things. And by the time we get to the last game, all hell breaks loose. I don't know about you, but despite the fact that a lot of this stuff in the last game is very cliche, I don't know about you, Dave, but I was really surprised by how this game ended, by how this last game ended, and then ended again. I thought this was really clever.
You just ruined it, man. You just ruined it.
If you pay attention, you will see it coming. If you don't pay attention, or if you can't guess it, you will be pleasant. You will be pleased. You will believe that. Yeah, there's no other way this thing could have gone at the end, even though it's completely insane. So I like that. I don't think that I blew it, Dave. I think you're being a bit harsh there, because I really think that you won't see it coming. And yet it makes total sense, which to me is a great sports movie ender. It's a great ender for any movie, but especially in sports when everything is so cliche in sports movies. And I mean, this one, you know, really follows the blueprint. There's nothing surprising in terms of the machinations of what's going to happen. I feel that, you know, different, let's say, Chinese mentality through the whole thing. I think there are leaps in the storyline, there are leaps in logic even at some point that I think that in an Asian film is a lot more typical than a Western film. I'm not going to give away too many specifics here, but I like that. It's not so foreign that you don't get it, but it is different enough to ground it in Chinese culture. And a lot of this movie answers to Chinese culture, despite the fact that they are, of course, playing that famous game invented by an American, and spread throughout the world from America. In general, I would say it's worth a look, but I think that it's only worth a look if you've seen Shaolin Soccer. I really can't imagine that any film will ever top the way that combined the sort of matrixy karate kung fu-y stuff with sports. I think that movie, and I mean, you know, even incorporating the over-the-top elements and with a pinch of drama, not too much, which I think this movie has. I think that movie is really ultimate in this sub-sub-sub genre of film. But this film, I think, is worth a look on the basketball side. I'd almost like to see more over-the-top and less sort of pay-ons to Chinese culture and Chinese film as this film has. But I do think it's worth a look. It's quick enough so that you're not going to have to lay out Dave's line, you know, I want that hour and a half of my life back. It keeps things moving, and the choreography is outstanding, and the direction is outstanding enough so that you keep watching, I think. I mean, Dave, you even watched this under extreme circumstances late at night with very little time, and you stuck with it. So I think that speaks to it somewhat.
Yeah. I'm, you know, like we said, it did have a you know, some touches in there, and then it's, yeah, it gets goofy though. It really gets goofy. I mean, and I know, I mean, the Shaolin soccer, you know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of this. And I guess probably, what was the dragon one that you said?
Yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yeah, Oscar nominated. That was the one that put this kind of stuff in the main. Yeah,
and I don't like all of this, like, super, and it's not super, yeah, it's not like superhero powers, because they're like normal people who do this.
Well, it's Matrix power. It's Matrix power. One that really was a game changer.
Yeah, so this, I don't like that type of stuff. And so, but, but that's me. I mean, other people. For me, it got a little too crazy. You know, it goes all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts. I wonder a little bit how this movie was actually conceived.
Right.
What was it? The middle section, or was it the start and the end? And like, well, how can we get to the end? Or was it, you know, like the middle section, and I said, okay, well, how do we get to the part that we need it, you know?
Well, okay, you see this kind of thing in general.
One thing or the other was, and then like you say to these old people, you know, it's like that whole thing, like. where is that necessary? You know, it's like,
right. Ultimately, it ended up not being necessary, right?
Yeah.
Because those guys come on, do their thing, and then been told they've been kicked out of the game or whatever. You know, it's just like, hey, let's throw in 10 more minutes of this stuff. And remember those guys? Yeah, we're gonna bring them back for 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
I think that, and you see that this is a co-production from. I don't know, People's Republic of China, let's say, and Hong Kong and Taiwan. Okay? Now, already, very often in these blockbuster kind of things, and we see this in America too, you get a script written by committee. And that's what this film, at its worst, feels like. When it strays off the wacky, let's combine the martial arts and basketball, let's do funny stuff with Fong. When it gets off that track, you feel that. You feel that, oh, okay, here's somebody from this representative wanting this bit in there. And so it's in there. You know, it's one of these, you feel that it's a script written by committee. And that's really where it fails. Too many cooks can ruin any movie. And it didn't exactly, I don't felt like it ruined this movie, but it weakened it.
Yeah.
I think you can blame the weak parts on somebody insisted this bit be in there because they wanted it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Then they had to figure out how to get there.
Right. And that's the thing. Now, Dave, I think that, now way back when we started doing these film reviews, you said you didn't see enough movies. Now, I think that after you see this movie, I think you won't be able to look at a blockbuster the same way. I think that this movie illustrates what happens when too many cooks are involved.
Yeah.
Especially in the script, and especially in the, let's say, even the direction. I mean, this is one director. This is a director, Chu Yinping, who has a long career. Okay, no problem. He's a professional. Okay. But I feel like the pressure. I mean, and you know, this was a big budget film. Hell, listen to the soundtrack. I don't know if these are big bands, but the soundtrack sounds great. Trying to capture the gangster rap and that traditional hip hop that's associated with American basketball, and doing it in Chinese. There's a couple times when they show the lyrics in Chinese, and the lyrics are fantastic. You know, I mean, because it has that Chinese sensibility, but with clearly in the rap milieu. You know, clearly like going to the rules of gangster rap. And I wanted to say this too: the one, probably the biggest disappointment in this film didn't happen. And or something that didn't happen, I should say, and that is this. this thing was planned around a cameo by Yao Ming, of course, right? I mean, that's ultimately what this film is missing. If it's missing anything, it's missing Yao Ming. And unfortunately, Yao Ming was not able to appear in this movie because, would you like to guess, Dave?
Well, I have the site open, so I know.
You've already seen it. Due to injury, of course. You know, I just when I read that, when I saw the preview articles for this years before it's done about how, oh, we're gonna make this movie and Yao Ming's gonna make a cameo, and then sure enough, through one of the many injuries that dogged his NBA and international career, he was rehabbing for one of those, and he couldn't appear in this film. And I was just, oh, man. I was just, it's too bad. I mean, I think that cameo would have been a major plus for this film. I don't care what it was. It would have been a huge plus for this film. But instead, we have what we have, a rather uneven, great-looking film. That might be worth a watch. It's worth a laugh or two.
I tell you what, there's two characters that I think it's worth it just to watch.
Oh, okay.
One of them is the gangster boss guy.
Yeah.
Who I think is really funny. And the other guy is, I'm trying to think, the university...
not the headmaster, but the
it's not the president, is he? Whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. The authority figure, let's say, for the university.
For the university.
Yeah.
Those two are really, really good. They're both little slapstick esque, I guess, if you will. You mm-hmm. know, or like a Mr. Bean, you know, Rowan Atkinson, you know, the faces and stuff, especially the university guy. But those, in my opinion, they both nail it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You like those characters. Yeah. Those are good characters to watch in any culture. I mean, again, those are guys that transfer across the international sports movie genre, I think. Yeah.
So Kung Fu Dunk, am I going to, you know what, if you're interested at all in a little bit of, Chinese Taiwan stuff and,
it's fairly accessible. It's fairly accessible Chinese movie. You know, that's the thing. China pumps out more movies than any country except for India and the USA, and almost nobody sees them outside of the country. One reason, of course, is because a lot of that stuff doesn't transfer. A lot of that stuff doesn't translate. It doesn't go across culture. But this is an effort to cross culture. And I think, so if you want an insight into Chinese film, and even to some extent into Hong Kong and Taiwanese film, this is a good enough movie to watch. It's accessible enough.
Yeah.
You know, it stays native enough, but yet there's enough for anybody in Europe or America or wherever to grab onto. So... in that respect, it's worth a look.
Kung Fu Dunk 2008. All right. So I guess that's it for the show. What do you got? You should watch the quarterfinals at least.
Yep. Yep. No, I'm.
You know, but the games are live. Are available online. Like on demand. You can watch all the games later on YouTube.
Yep.
On the FIBA channel.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna do that. So what else do you got?
Just trying to get things going. You know about our project. I don't want to talk about it right now, but just getting things running on that. Again, I've been here now 6 weeks, but still, you know, getting stuff into place. I have landed teaching work, but of course, the semester doesn't begin realistically until September, so I'm going through lots of trainings right now, an astounding amount of trainings for this job. It's weird coming in here with almost 20 years of experience, and at least I was taken seriously in that respect, but I still have to jump through hoops as though it's 1995 and I'm just learning the gig. So in that respect, You know, it's time consuming. It's time consuming. But I've cleared the slate for the future of the tournament. So I'm going to be able to actually sit and pay attention to this youth tournament where, lucky enough, Dave actually is right now.
I just looked at it just now. There have been basketball games. I'm not going to say I watched them because, you know, too often, unfortunately, way too unfortunately, games go on and I'm just not watching them because I have to do writing and stuff like that. But yeah. In front of me, there's been 20 games since the 24th. So I've had the opportunity to watch 20 games in front of my nose, but some of them more than others. And that's only half of the games because the other games are in the other gym.
Right.
And I still have 16 games that are going to be live in front of my face in the next, I guess it's probably 5 days or
5 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, over the next 6 days because I have over the next 5 days. There's four more game days. There's the
and you're in Turkey.
Well, which is great. Yeah, the food's good. Yeah, the food's good, but I mean, I'm in Konya, which is not really a great city to be. You know, there's not a lot to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm doing all the U18 stuff. Also, it's the home stretch for the U17s. We've been putting stuff on that. And let me get this set up really quick. See what this. So to tell you where to get it. That is FIBA.com /world/U17/24. We are doing like probably three pieces a week now, so there'll be a couple more pieces coming up next week. Next week we'll talk about the U17s as well. And I guess that's it. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the U18. Hopefully we get to hear what happens with Kevin Love soon so that saga is over. and again, like we said at the beginning of the show, if you've reached this far, you only have to go through one more full episode, and then it's 100. So enjoy, and we'll talk to you then in a week.
We'll be right back.